Luke chapter 18, verse 15. Notice now a little, in addition to the group of little children that were brought as recorded in Matthew and Mark. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Amen. Last week we considered the blessing of marriage. Divorce is the attack of the devil on this ancient institution. But contrary to what the disciples thought when they asked who then is able to marry, as it were, they were focusing more on the times than on the Ancient of Days. God is able to preserve this fabulous picture of Christ. So it's not just this age where this institution had decayed. They were permitting divorce for any reason in that day. And they were trying to pin Christ against one or the other of the rabbinical teachings that divorce is to be for no reason and divorce is to be for any reason. Christ didn't take either of those positions. He said, except for fornication. And we look into 1 Corinthians 7 and also for willful desertion by the unbeliever. Those are the only cracks in the door. Not saying that a person who's been divorced for these reasons it's incumbent upon them to remarry. But the Lord is giving His view on this particular situation, on marriage and divorce. Children are the blessed fruit of the union of a man and woman, as we concluded in the message last Lord's Day. They are an inheritance, a heritage of the Lord. All three of these Gospels, called the Synoptic Gospels, record this incident. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The natural result of his view of the joining of man and wife is this subject being brought up about children. You wonder if they got wind of Christ's high views of marriage, that if they rushed back to their homes to gather their children and bring them to the Lord. See, there's a connection here between what Christ taught and how He taught. Not just what He taught, but the spirit of His teaching was attractive. It taught them something. And let's remember that. Not just our words, but our attitudes are instructive. You may seek to teach children, but children can detect a childlike spirit, a child-conducive spirit. The Lord was one who taught that marriage is to be safeguarded and children are a blessing from the Lord. Children are often treated as second-class citizens or as rulers in this day. As I told you before, there was someone that commented from Europe when he went to America. He said there's something very particular about North America. I don't think that he can exactly say that it's not particular about Europe or the world, but he said he noticed it in North America, how the parents obey their children. That's the other extreme of children being treated as second-class citizens. They're also treated perhaps as necessary evils or just simply persons waiting to be adults. That's not how the Lord viewed children. The Scripture, do you believe, do you not believe, is addressed to children? how we have this idea that the Scripture is above the heads of young people, that it cannot be well understood by little children. But the Scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's addressed to children. It's assuming that children are reading the Scriptures, for it says children. John the Apostle wrote to children in his epistle in particular. They are said to be in the kingdom of God, not simply because they're children. Oh, it's not teaching here that children are in the kingdom of God simply because they're children. Or because they die since they were children, they're automatically in the kingdom of God. That's not what it's taught. That's not what it's taught here. But it is taught that children are in the kingdom of God. And we assume only, again, through grace in Christ Jesus. And this morning I'd like to take the theme that I believe is very simply expressed here about children coming to Christ and preach to us on this theme. Children coming to Christ. Children need to come to Christ. They need to go to Christ for the salvation of their souls. God forbid that we should forbid children to approach our Savior. Did I say it's a parent's priority that children come to Christ? Inasmuch as a parent ought to be concerned for the child's health and nutrition and welfare, a parent's immediate concern is that their child be taught of Christ and brought to Him. It's never too early to bring children to Christ. I remember at those little incubator cribs in the hospital singing to our little children. I remember at first they were a lot less, they gave us a lot less liberty, and we had to distance ourselves from the little children until Alyssa and Jared were born. But I remember thinking, I've got to begin now, singing Scripture to them, telling them of Christ, whispering in their ears about the love of God. They need to hear it in the beginning. You see, if you and I do not prejudice them to Christ, you can be sure the devil will prejudice them to the world. If you and I do not prejudice them to the message of Scripture, and we don't seek to cause them to speak of Christ, you can be sure the devil will tell them and teach them the language of the world. Never too early. What does it say of Timothy? From a child, thou hast known. Thou hast come to know the Holy Scriptures. Not from a teen or from an adult. From a child. We need to be taught early. Oh, that I had that privilege. You know, sometimes people are more in awe of a person that's been saved later in life from perhaps a Roman church than, and more appreciative than that, than being brought up in a Christian home. I say it's the reverse. You and I who have been saved later in life ought to envy those who've been saved early in life. Oh, that we were saved young. All those 18 years, as it were, wasted. My mind was wasted. And I know this is God's sovereign will that I was saved at 18. But how far behind am I? Now, the Lord can give grace to cause us to catch up. But to think of all the years that I could have been learning the catechism, learning about Christ. I envy you children. And you children are responsible to learn about Christ early. Not just to learn about Him, but to learn Him. To learn Christ. To have your minds filled with the truth. To pray that God would cause you to be good stewards of your minds and your heart early. As we read together in Ecclesiastes, remember now the Creator, thy Creator, God is your redemptive, is your creative Father, but you need to learn to remember your creative Father and come to the day when you know Him as your redemptive Father, when He redeems you from the slave market of sin. Now is the time. It was Hannah's concern that she would teach Samuel early. Samson's parents were concerned. They prayed, "How shall I raise this child?" And some of us think that Samson's parents failed. But Samson, yes, failed at critical periods of his life, but generally speaking, he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. A man who walked with God. What we see in Scripture is a man that failed in critical points of his life. And what a lesson it is to us. We can generally be serving the Lord, but when it comes to crises times, we fail to trust the Lord. We turn to the world's remedies, or we begin to panic, and we become Samsons. We succumb to our lusts, the lusts of the flesh. We succumb. When the Lord tests us to prove His grace, I say, Samson served the Lord, generally speaking. His parents were not failures. They sought the Lord to bring up Samson from a little babe. And they did. You know, saved or unsaved, a parent has failed in parenting if he has not sought to bring his child to Christ. Lost parents will be responsible for forbidding their children to come to Christ. You say, children are too young to learn about Christ? Are they too young to be happy? They're not too young to learn mathematics. They're not too young to learn the taste of the world. But they're too young to taste of Christ. Wesley's mother took an hour a week on a certain day to speak to each of her children. Oh, she spoke to them together every day, but she made sure in her busy schedule that she would take an hour for each child on a certain day of the week to talk to them about the things of God and about their needs and about their condition before the Lord. If you're too busy to speak with your children, you're too busy. You've got misplaced priorities. For a parent's priority is to bring their child to Christ. What does it mean to bring your child to Christ? To bring your child to Christ in prayer? Well, Christ is not walking on the earth as He did in those days. But if you brought your children to Christ in the prayer closet, "Oh God, save my boy. Oh God, save my girl." B.B. McKinney, the songwriter, heard his mother after he came home from an atheistic meeting crying out on her tree stump, "Oh God, save Ben. Oh God, save Ben." She was bringing her son to the Lord in prayer. We talked about dedication last Thursday. We need to dedicate our children early. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, they may not, like Billy Sunday, get saved until later in life. But you started, you know, when he began to hear the Pacific Garden Mission preach, all the songs and the lessons that his mother had taught him as a young boy began to be stirred up again in his mind. Don't think that you've lost your child if they haven't gotten saved at 10 or 15 or 20. And you've taught them early and you've prayed for them. And as much as you know, you've brought them to Christ. We trust the day will rebound again. The day will return when the Lord will visit them and save them. We all love to see our children saved as lads and lassies, but it may not come that way. God is sovereign. But we must bring them to Christ in prayer. in dedication, in catechizing our children. It's a lost art today. You say you don't want to prejudice your boy to prayer, to learn to pray. I heard a man say, I won't let my son pray until he gets saved. Well, the devil will prejudice him to swear. He doesn't care how old he is. Someone said, if you don't prejudice your piece of ground by sowing good seed, you can be sure the weeds will not imitate your impartiality. Do we not bring our children to Christ if we frequent the house of God? Think of the parents that are forbidding their children to come to Christ when they know there's a place where Christ is preached, where it can be said like those saints of old when they said that they heard that Jesus was in the midst and they came. This community is responsible. They're bringing their children to the lake. They're bringing their children to the amusement parks. They're bringing their children to the playgrounds. They're bringing their children to the stadium. But they are forbidding their children to come to Christ when they will not enter the house of God. What a privilege it is. I trust we haven't dragged our feet when we came today. We're glad to be here because we know Christ is here. Christ is being lifted up, and we're desiring that our children gravitate to Him. Prayer, prayer, prayer is a means of bringing your children to Christ. Jesus is waiting to hear. To bring him, bring your boy, to bring your girl to the throne of grace. Have you named your boy and girl? Have you brought them to Christ this morning in prayer? Brothers and sisters, have you remembered our sons and daughters to Christ in prayer this morning? Will you not bring them to Christ in your prayers today? Pray for my boys and girls, would you? It's a parent's priority. Won't you say, those of you who aren't parents yet, yet I'm still my brother's child's keeper? My brother's daughter's keeper? Will we say, we make an excuse like Cain, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. You have more time, perhaps, than we to pray, and more opportunities and less distractions. Bring our children to Christ in prayer. It's a parent's priority. Secondly, it's the world's antipathy. They have an aversion. They're against the feeling of bringing children to Christ. And the disciples that imbibe the spirit of the world. You see, where did the disciples learn to forbid children from coming to Christ? Can you imagine? Here were guardians, parents, nurses, maybe older brothers and sisters, walking down those dusty roads, going to the house that they knew Jesus was in. And they were bringing and carrying their children. You could see the little babes, the little infants in their arms, and the 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old children skipping along as they walked toward the house. And you could just see the disciples looking out the window with disdain. Go forbid them before they enter. Go. He doesn't have time. He's busy. He doesn't have time. Wait till they get a little bit older. And the Lord Jesus knew all. You can just see Him standing, walking out to where His disciples were rebuking the adults. The world's antipathy. You think the disciples learned it from the Lord? You know, we can be like the disciples. The Lord Jesus doesn't teach us of our angry ways, of our misapplication of Scripture. Can't blame this on the Lord. You think that the immediate opposition would have been from the Pharisees, but it wasn't, although they certainly were opposed to bringing anyone to Christ, especially the young generation coming up. The immediate opposition wasn't from the Lord. It was the disciples. They had become the devil's advocates and imbibed the spirit of the world. The Scripture says, give not place to the devil. You say, you mean I can become a devil's advocate? Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. God's people can become advocates of the devil. And you see it out in the streets. God's people saying, what do you have your children? They're forbidding our children from standing in the gates and preaching. Standing and taking up our time as people walk by, arguing with us about the application of the law. Advocates of the devil. Oh, the world is angry when we bring our children to Christ or bring our children out with us to preach Christ. Yet they'll take them to the ball game and listen to every wicked saying that the world can muster. They'll let them accompany them to the tavern. Go over to the tavern and preach in front. And you know, you'll see children climbing on the stools in the back. And their parents are seated at the bar. And they're watching the television. And the children over here at the Liberty Bell. And you'll see them over here at Boss. They'll tell us, what do we have our children here for? And they have them in the bars learning to drink from a young age. Prejudicing them to the wicked drink. See, the devil is deceptive. They'll let them watch a carnal movie, but they won't let them come and see Christ pictured in the preaching of the gospel. They might let them sit through a religious ritual, but they dare not bring their children to Christ all the Sabbath day long. We need to bring our children to Jesus and teach them of His electing love and of His holy law. Mark 10:14 tells us Jesus was indignant, vexed, displeased. This is a word that's used of believers in Corinth who are angry over their sin, their past sin that they had repented of. Christ was angry. Preventing children from coming to Christ excites the wrath of God. See the world's reaction when they see our children with us at the gates. Magnify this when we see the world forbidding their children to come to Christ. You see, the Scripture says they shall speak with their enemies at the gates. Bringing children to Christ, thirdly, is a child's responsibility. It says, except ye receive the kingdom of God as a little child. Have you ever considered what that means? As a little child receives it. You see, it wasn't simply the faith of the parents. Although, yes, and people will come here and find infant baptism. And I have no problem, but I think we're begging the point. Because baptism is found other places, but yes, there's an application there. And you can see the parents' faith in bringing their children to Christ as a parent's faith is exercised in having his child baptized. But think of this. The children that were being brought to Christ were receiving His kingship. We're bowing to His authority. We're receiving Christ as their King, as their Lord and Savior. It wasn't until they were adults, so to speak, that they received. But they received the kingdom of God at that young age. Now I think of this, even of the faith of the parents. You think of the people bringing their child or their brother or sister to Christ only because they were sick or their disease. They were diseased. Think of it. Let it sink down. These guardians, parents, older brothers and sisters were not bringing sick children here. They had no other reason but simply to bring their children to Christ. They magnified Christ for who He was, not simply for His healing power and His miracle-working power, but because of His character, because of His person. There was no other reason but that Jesus would pray for their children, it says in Matthew, and then He might lay His hands upon them and lift them up in His arms. No, I wonder, do we bring our children to Christ for that reason alone? Or that they might be good students, that they might be good work, that they might earn a living, that they might simply be saved? Now, yes, that was in their mind, but it was simply because of their love for Christ and their regard for Christ that they brought their children to Him. It was, in other words, bringing their children to glorify Christ. To exalt in Him alone. And yes, that He might bless their children, but simply for who He was. And the Scripture says, to as many as received Christ, to them gave He power, authority, the right to become the children of God. Children, it's your responsibility to come to Christ, to receive Him as your Savior, to recognize that He's the King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to bow your knee to Christ. It's your responsibility. If you perish, it'll be because of your failure to reject Christ. Receive Him as your Savior. Receive Christ as your King. Receive Him heartily as your Sovereign. Come to Christ despite a parent's neglect. How many children have come to Christ and their parents have remained away from Christ? Come to Christ despite your friend's disgust. Come to Christ despite what the disciples of Christ have done to forbid you. Despite my sins, I pray my children come to Christ. Despite my impediments, despite my sins that have caused you to see not Christ, but to see what sin can do to a life. Come to Christ. Samuel was called by God. Eli couldn't answer for him. At the end of the day, you've got to answer for the call of God to come to Christ. Come to Christ. Jesus said, all who come unto Me, I will in no way cast out. Come. He'll receive you. Could I say next that children's coming to Christ is the King's felicity, His delight? The opposite of His indignation toward those who forbid the children was that He was glad. Can you not see the smile on Christ's face? Some have the idea that Christ never smiled. He never laughed. Was He not human? Yes, He frowned and He cried and He wept. But He smiled and He laughed. And can you not see Christ smiling and laughing as He took up these babes into His arms? How such is the kingdom of God. Having taken them in His arms, He laid His hands on them and blessed them, it says. You say, did He save them? Yes. Did He give them a vouchsafe of His grace? Yes. Did He just simply bless them as their Creator? Yes. What else did He do? Yes. He prayed for them. Because it says in Matthew 19, they desire that He pray. Oh, we should be saying to the Lord, pray for my children, Lord. For I know whatever you ask the Father, He will give it to you. Pray for my children to be saved. Is there a greater intercessor before God than the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, when Jesus prays, heaven opens. May Jesus pray for your children today. When Christ blesses, they shall be blessed. A fervency marked Christ's reception of the children. You see His zeal, His fervency, as He went out to rebuke the disciples. Finally, children coming to Christ is faith's peculiarity. A picture of faith. Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you shall in no way enter into the kingdom of God. What a suitable application. Whosoever does not receive, except you receive. There's a negation here. If you don't come humbly, if you don't come as little children, you cannot be saved. Now what does that mean? Define what it means to come as little children. Did they not have a mental assent of Christ? Did they not recognize who they were coming to? Yes. Was there a heart trust in the Lord? Yes. Isn't that the full ramification of faith? Not only a mental assent, but a heart trust. What does it mean to come to Christ as a child? Uncynical, unhypocritical, unreserved, unsuspecting, open, believing. That's what it means to come to Christ. Not that you have your own agenda for Him to deal with. You come as you are. You lay aside all your prejudices. You lay aside everything that will cause you to doubt in the Son of God. And you come and you lay your prejudices at His feet and you repent of your sins. It's a candid confession of Christ. It's not a parked mind nor a proud mind, but an innocent mind that is being exercised in saving faith toward the Lord Jesus. No skeptical and critical approach. An open, willing, hearty coming is the act of faith that a little child exhibits when they place their trust in the Lord Jesus. How many have come and have never fully trusted in Christ? They give Him a mental assent as a good man or even as a prophet, but they've never received Him as their Savior. Remember reading that sermon on Isaiah 53? Despised and rejected of men, and how the writer said, you can despise Christ and receive Him, and you're not saved. You despise Him for what He really says He is, but you receive Him for what they say He is. You've never received Him. You can accept Christ, you can admire Christ and reject Him. Admire Him as a good man, and even admire Him as God, but reject Him with an impenitent heart. And you've not received Christ. You've not come to Christ. You've not entered the kingdom of God. You must admire Him and you must receive Him as these little children did. Children, come to Christ. I believe in the Lord's sovereignty that this message is just for you today and for us to remember from whence we've come. And for any adult here today that's not saved, you come as a little child. The message is to you, children in particular, come. Remember now, right now, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We read about that illustration of death, when the grinders become few, the teeth begin to fall out, the legs become weak, and the body is decrepit, and we are close to the grave. The eyes fail. Remember the Lord now. Give of your best to the Master. Serve the Lord from your youth. come. He won't cast you out. Come by faith. He's the King. He's the only Savior. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive Him, and you will enter the kingdom of God.